boy talk. It's time for the broadcast. Welcome to another episode of The Broadcast. Excuse my raspy voice, or enjoy it more. But I'm Vicky Barcelona, and across from me is the gorgeous Taryn Daly.
Also raspy voice, which I have normally, but after the Seahawks won yesterday, it's quite a bit raspier than normal.
It might also be because it's your birthday!
It is my birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy
birthday!
Freaking dirty 30. It is a dirty one, too. I feel dirty.
Do you?
Good. I feel real dirty.
You don't look dirty. You look good.
I showered a little bit. Thanks.
And we also have a special guest in with us today. She has done so many awesome things that I am very jealous and feel like I have had a very uneventful life.
Yeah.
But we'd like to welcome Drew to the broadcast.
Hello.
Hi, Drew.
Hi.
And I totally agree with you, Vicky. Like, now I'm 30 today, and I'm, like, taking inventory of my life and realizing that, man, I have some things I could do with it. Drew's a very inspirational lady, and we're excited that she's here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well,
but just to start off, I want to make sure everyone knows you do have a show coming up. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. Myself, I Have a Handful, and Serafina Fierro, the three of us, created a production company called Closer to Broads.
Yes.
Love it.
Which I know you like that. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a Nine Inch Nails inspired burlesque show.
Ooh.
We are so excited. You have no idea.
That sounds so sexy.
What's it called?
I have to take deep breaths because I get really excited
talking about it.
I know. I'm like, ooh, it's warm in here all of a sudden. So we're super, super, uber, uber Trent Reznor Nine Inch Nails fans. And we're doing a show that's all Nine Inch Nails songs, all burlesque. We had rehearsal yesterday, and I had to stop, like, panting and screaming the whole time because I was, every single time another person would get on stage and work on their act, I was just, like, half dead inside.
And what's the name of the show?
It is called Pretty Haute Machine.
Love it.
That is so good.
H-A-U-T-E. Very important.
And it's going to be the Theater Off Jackson in Seattle, correct?
Yes.
And tickets are available at brownpapertickets.com. And there's two shows. You said one is sold out, correct?
Right. The 24th is sold out.
Hi, girl.
January 30th.
We're excited.
January 30th at 10 p.m. There's still tickets available. So if you have not gotten them, what the hell are you waiting for?
I know, you guys. You have to come.
So you have to tell me a little bit about what inspired you to get into burlesque? I mean, how does one do that?
That is such
You just pick up a phone and call the burlesque hotline and then they send you out?
Or do you go to, like, Paris and you do the whole Moulin Rouge and awesomeness? I don't know. I've seen that movie way too many times.
I know. I always think of that. And I want to know your
story.
Moulin
Rouge is a phenomenal movie. Well, I started doing burlesque via kind of my overlap with roller derby. So
see, we told you she does a lot of cool stuff.
Like, her cool back, she is hands down the coolest girl in this room times 10.
Right? I don't know about that. You guys are pretty awesome.
Aw.
But I could talk about derby in a separate moment. But as far as burlesque goes, one of the girls on my roller derby team, JoJo Stiletto, she joined our team and she had just finished taking a burlesque class at Miss Indigo Blues Academy of Burlesque, which is a super awesome school for burlesque if you're interested in doing it long term or just whatever.
Is it just like an art school or is it just like a couple courses? Or
You can take long classes where they teach you how to create an entire act and then they have a recital at the end, or you can take individual classes or whatever.
It's not like college. I don't have to, you know, buy books that cost $500 and
no.
Okay, cool. I'd rather do this than college.
And continued education sounds a lot more appealing when it's burlesque continued education rather than reading and writing.
So she went to school and did all this awesomeness.
And then she joined our roller derby team and she was just chatting about it. And we were all super, super excited and interested. And we were like, how could we learn to do this? So she asked the headmistress of that school to come to the rink and give us a little class. So,
oh my gosh, that would be so
fun. It was awesome. We, I think we had derby practice, so we were all super gross and sweaty. And she came to the rink, and we were on the derby rink with boas. And she was teaching us how to tussle twirl. It was fun.
That's quite a contrast. I feel like you go from like derby, like probably some grunting and some you know, woman on woman combat, and then all of a sudden now you're a
different kind of grunting.
Different kind of grunting.
Total action superhero esque to more sensual and I can't say the word demure.
Oh yeah.
I knew a big word.
Love that.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So much fun. And so from that inspiration there, how many of the gals that were involved in this class went on to really pursue burlesque?
Well, not many of them. There are a few girls in burlesque that came from roller derby, but not a lot, not as many as you would think.
Yeah.
Derby sucks you in and burlesque sucks you in. So having that overlap happens sometimes, but not, it's either one, you're focusing on more, one more than the other.
Yeah.
So I was focusing more on derby in the beginning and doing a little bit of burlesque here and there, a couple times a year performing. And then over time, you know, throughout the injuries and all the things that happened with derby, I ended up, you know, going into burlesque more of a full time.
Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome. And what are some of the, I heard you got some pretty crazy injuries, because like I feel like every single girl at one point has wanted to do derby since they first heard it. And I read this quote somewhere and it said, like, you know, most of the girls that come into derby are in a transitional point in their life. And that is like where their outlet is. And I thought that was phenomenal. And I totally lost my question. Oh, but some people aren't aware of the injuries that can happen. I think you said something along the lines of it's not about
if you get hurt.
It's
yep.
when.
It's
when.
Not
how
if,
bad.
It's when. And do you have insurance? Yeah. And do you... And are you able to take some time off work if you get hurt? Like that kind of stuff.
So you're saying there's more injuries in roller derby than burlesque, yes?
yes. I thought I would not be hurting quite as much in burlesque. And I'm not. I won't lie. But I definitely have my, you know, you have your dancing injuries. Or,
oh, yeah.
You know, you pull a muscle or... I don't know.
High heels hurt.
We have to adhere things to our bodies that can be quite painful to take off.
Jeez.
I'm holding my nipples right now. This is scary.
The nipple burn is pretty intense.
Oh, it's goodness. A real thing, people. The nipple burn.
Jeez. That sounds fantastic.
Now, what are some of the injuries you received while you were in derby?
Or like, did the first injury scare you really bad? I mean, I want to know about that, too.
The first injury I had was my knee. Which is funny because it was the last injury that I left derby with.
Oh.
It's kind of strange. It was my bookend injury, I guess. I dislocated my right knee and was taken off the track. I think it was the third derby game I'd ever been in the beginning of our days.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had some x-rays taken and they didn't find much, but that it was just separated. But it ended up over the years, I came to find out that it was torn. My meniscus was torn, and it was shredded pretty badly. Mm. So I ended up later on having surgery on my right knee for that.
Ugh. Okay, not to totally change the subject.
No.
Well, it's the same subject, but I have to include. I have to bring myself into this. My left knee, mm-hmm. soccer, skiing, the whole nine, dislocated a bazillion times, and I finally had surgery on it. My first injury was when I was 12, and I had surgery to fix the fact that it wouldn't stop dislocating when I was like 21. So we are like knee sisters.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
We are. My left,
you have
right.
a lot of knee injury
God.
Sisters.
Yeah, it's, I'm
trust
sure.
Me.
But
it's very common
how about
to have
concussions.
Oh, I've had quite a few. I think 3 concussions.
You'll think. No.
So I can't quite remember.
I blame a lot of my memory loss problems on that.
Well, it's a good excuse. Just be like, I've had 3 concussions. I'm sorry, I forgot your birthday. Sorry.
Oh, I would pull that card all the time. Well, mm-hmm. you know, derby concussions. Sorry.
Yeah, it happens.
Pretty awesome. I'm sorry.
And concussions are, I mean, in lots of different sports, that's a... Now they've done so much research on it,
right.
and they found out, you know, that it can affect things like that. So it's, I mean, that's a big risk that you
Isn't
take.
Isn't it related to Parkinson's or no,
something.
Lou Gehrig's disease?
Something
one of
like
those.
That.
I don't know.
Google.
But,
Wikipedia.
Yeah, thank God for Google.
But yeah, that's, I mean, that's a...
It's scary, yeah.
You're signing up for that. I mean, I'm assuming that probably almost everyone that plays roller derby gets a concussion at some point, maybe.
I think it's slightly common.
Yeah.
I can't say for a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... when I was playing it was kind
Alzheimer's.
Of...
Alzheimer's.
There you go.
And depression, apparently. I don't know.
It was the beginnings of derby, so we really went through the, like, grunt phase of it.
Ooh.
We were falling on our knees a lot. We were hitting our heads and learning the ins and outs of the sport and really building the sport back into a new kind of mold.
Well, what made you go into derby in the first place? Let's go to the beginning.
Okay.
I was bouncing around like craziness.
Well, no, it's us. Of course we're going to bounce
That's
around
what
like
we
crazy.
Do.
Sorry if you
so
need,
many things.
Need help understanding the way we think, but sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Derby. Oh, so I grew up with a friend in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and she moved out here. And then I moved out here, and she was dating a boy who, it's like dating a boy who knew someone, who knew this person, who knew that person, that started the league.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool.
Right, so... she came to me and said, hey, do you, what do you think about roller derby? I was like, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You get to like hit other women and in a safe way. So I thought at the time, and yeah, I don't know, skating. We had grown up roller skating.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that sounds kick ass. Let's do it. So we went to the rink and met a bunch of girls, and it was before the league even really fully started. They'd only had a couple meetings, and we would go to the all skate at Southgate Roller Rink, and there were still kids skating around, and we would just skate and chat and get to know each other, and it was super, super intimidating at first.
Yeah.
And I think we all felt the same way about each other. We were all very nice people, but when you're quiet and you meet new strong women, it's intimidating, and you think, oh my god, are they mean, are they scared,
or they hate me,
do they hate me, are they way cooler than me? But then you get to know them and chat with them, and you're all the same. You all feel the same way about each other.
Family.
Yeah, it's
like
intimidating, but it was fun. It was really great, and we developed a league, and the first 40 were put together.
Oh my goodness.
And then there was the cutoff, and we're like, okay, we're gonna create the teams, and who wants to be captain? And they separated everyone out into teams, and then I was one of the first captains, which was really exciting. So
Sweet.
We got to decide what our team was called, what the style of the team would be, you know, the logo, and build everything from the ground up. It was really rewarding and really cool.
That's amazing to be a part of something like that.
That
kind
is
of,
history, you know,
came together, and you were there from the beginning. That's that's pretty sweet.
If you think about it, it's history, right?
That's
there.
Major ownership for you, my dear. I love that.
Oh, thanks.
Well,
yeah.
Do you have any recommendations for any gal out there that's listening? They're like, I want to do roller derby. And is it for me? Like, what is something you would tell people that are curious about it?
Well, you don't have to know how to skate. If you're a sports-oriented person, you're probably going to be fine on skates. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to skate and you aren't sports-oriented and you're all over the place, then I would just go skating. Just go roller skate and skate on the all skate nights when there's a lot of kids around, because they're really they fall down a lot. And if you can stay up with all these kids falling around you, then you're probably okay.
Oh, that is good. I like it.
But I definitely, I think there are a lot of really good smaller groups that get together and skate, like recreationally.
Nice.
Just to learn. There used to be one, I don't know if they still have it, called the Potential Fresh Meat, because we call all the new girls Fresh Meat.
Mm-hmm.
So there are groups like that nice. Get together and just skate and talk about derby, and then you can get your feet wet and you don't have to hit anyone or...
Yeah.
Do anything
dangerous.
You can just watch or ask
that.
A lot of questions. Yeah.
No, and when I went to my first derby, it was at Comcast Arena in Everett. Xfinity Arena, I think is what they call it now. Xfinity Arena. And they had the sloped track.
Oh, right, bank track.
Bank track, thank you. What is the difference between having a bank track and not having one, and what style do you like?
I've never skated on bank track.
Oh.
Yeah, the Railbirds started here and had their bank track set up when I was injured, so I wasn't able to go actually skate at that time. So and then I kind of phased out, so I was like, it sounds a lot of fun, but
yeah.
And a lot of my teammates have skated on it, and they said it's really, really fun. But I don't know. I mean, I've always been bank track.
Yeah.
Or sorry, flat track.
The flat track. Yeah. Well, in the bank track, I was looking at it going like, I feel like that inside leg would be doing so much work keeping you like not falling.
Well, I think you get momentum.
I'm sure.
Skating around at that angle. But when you fall, I mean, if you fall to your left, because you're skating, you're turning left the whole time, which has always been a really funny derby joke. Like, we know how to turn left, but we don't know how to turn right because we don't skate the other
direction. Kind of like NASCAR.
Yeah, exactly.
Left.
So I bet when you fall left, you're falling a farther distance.
It's
when
a
you're
slope.
At,
you get dragged a little bit.
Good call.
Yeah. No. I don't know how the injuries are, if they're worse or better on either, but...
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about derby is just the names in general. And I was talking to one of my coworkers, the Rev, and he made a joke because I'm a little Mexican. He's like, Vicky, if you're a roller derby girl, your name would be Holly Peño.
Oh, that is cute. Good job, Rev.
I thought it was the most adorable thing, and I'm like, I almost want to go into derby just so I can use this name.
just because you have to use it.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Just like I kind of have to. I'm sorry.
There was a girl on my team. She still skates, I believe. Jalapeno Business.
Oh, yeah.
Jalapeno like Business.
It. That's really cute.
Yeah. There's some funny names for sure.
I feel like Taryn, yours is already kind of established. Tearing it up.
That's my hashtag tearing it up. yes, that would be a natural fit. That would be a natural fit. And my favorite one I ever heard was Blunt Force Drama.
Yeah.
Blunt Force Drama. I don't know
really
if that gal's still out there, but I was rooting for you because you had the best name, Blunt Force Drama. But it's so fun, and I love that you can be creative in that regard, and it's different than any other sport in that way. I mean, I'm sure they all, football players and soccer players have nicknames and things like that, but it's not plastered on their jerseys, and that's fun. It's a cool persona, and, you make it a part of who you are, and I think that's awesome.
Well, my derby name is Drew Blood.
Love it.
And my burlesque name is Lady Drew Blood. So it's funny, all of us trying to come up with our names in the beginning of things.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Even now, it's still super, super fun. But
do you ever feel like, well, you know how some people say you can't give yourself your own nickname? Do you ever get any of that thrown your way? Or do you ever help somebody else make their own name? Or how does that work?
We all do it differently. I think some girls will join the team and everyone will bombard them with all the names that they've been thinking of over time that they can't use because they already have one.
Oh, yeah.
So they definitely get bombarded with that. There's actually a derby girl named Bomb Barb. I'm like, don't say Bomb Barb. Say Bombard. But, I mean, you can look up names online and, go through. I mean, there's so many different ways to get. Like, my name is from a Garbage Pail Kid. Drew Blood.
Oh, that's so cool.
I have one of my friends. Her name was Electric Fanny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is really funny.
That's
awesome. Bonnie Collide and Chevy Chase. And there's some really, really good ones. There's some clever ones. There's some that don't make any sense at all. And it's fine.
Yeah.
If you relate to
what you know.
It's fine.
Do your thing.
But there's a list online that you have to check before you can take your derby name.
Oh. That's what I heard. You have to, make sure it's not taken, and then you have to register your name or something
right.
like that? Okay.
Right. It's called the twoevils.org or .com, but it's the Two Evils. And it's huge. The list is crazy long. So since I'm a founder of Rat City and an alumni, my name is still on there, so no one can take Drew Blood.
Yeah. That is awesome. You're the coolest person I've ever met. She's a founder. My God.
All right, and going back to one of the original reasons you're here is to promote your show, Pretty Hot Machine, the burlesque tribute to the Nine Inch Nails. And the January 24th show is sold out, but check it out on the 30th. Tickets are still available at brownpaperbagtick.com. Brownpaperticketstickets.com. Excuse me, I got it. I know what I'm talking about.
Brownpaperticketstickets.com.
So go get them now. And because we're professionals, I forgot to mention, we also have an email and a phone number. You guys can contact us. So if you have any questions for her, we can send them along. She can email back. We could talk about it on the show, or maybe next time you join us on the show.
Yeah,
we could also do that because I forget. I forgot to say this at the beginning, but our phone number is 253-271-9343. And you can email us at thebroadcast999@gmail.com. Or you can just check us out on Facebook. That works too.
Oh, yeah.
We post dumb pictures all the time.
I'm excited to talk about burlesque now because I've always found it to be extremely sexy and empowering. And it shows so much strength and grace. And it's just amazing.
And there's so much you can do with it. You don't necessarily have to be sexy. I've seen a horror burlesque show where a gal had balloons coming off of her and she was popping them with a big knife. And at the end, she gets murdered or somebody gets murdered behind the curtain. We don't know who gets murdered. It's just you see blood coming up at the curtain. So it's just there's so many things you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Nine Inch Nails burlesque. Ooh.
Your very first actual performance ever, was that very intimidating, or were you like crazy nervous beforehand, or did it just feel like a natural thing that you were born to do?
Well, that very first performance was at the Sunset in Ballard.
Yeah.
We were having a derby fundraiser for my team, the Socket Wenches.
I
love it.
A bunch of us performed, and I did it to, I think it was the Pink Panther theme.
My God. That is amazing.
That's a good one.
And I was wearing all black and with some pink, and I was super excited and super nervous, but it was a small venue, and we had a lot of our derby fans there, and they're so good, those people. Those derby fans are like, they're like Seahawks fans for derby. They're into it. They love it. They love us. They love anything we do.
They're the true fans.
So it was great because we had a really supportive audience, and we were doing something we were really excited about and passionate about to make money for something we were really excited and passionate about. And
That's so fantastic.
That was in 2005, and that is crazy. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, oh my God.
This is going to be year 10.
I know, in May.
Crazy. Well, happy anniversary a couple months early.
We call it a burlesque-iversary.
Oh, that's crazy. Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, so that was really fun. And over time, just doing more and more shows as time goes on. You just get more acclimated and
just more comfortable naked than you are.
Yeah,
and or like,
you know,
and less clothing, the better.
Exactly. I think we all joke that we start off with more clothing, and as we go on throughout our career, we are much more comfortable with what we're doing. And
so it's like less and less.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes we have less costume that we peel off into.
Oh, without giving away too much of the show, what are some things people can expect from the Nine Inch Nails Burlesque show?
A lot of crazy costumes. We went absolutely bananas with our costumes. Lights. Oh. We're doing it Theater off Jackson because they have a really amazing lighting crew. Emily's doing our lights, and it's just going to be epic. One thing we really love about Nine Inch Nails is the light show the experience when you go to the show. So we wanted to make sure that anyone that sits in those seats and is watching our show can feel that same energy that we get when we go to those Nine Inch Nails shows.
Do you encourage people to dress up as well to the show?
Absolutely.
Do it.
Yeah!
However you want to dress up, do it. Do it.
That is so cool.
Ah! Now, I got to ask, so I know burlesque and everything is not technically your day job. You have a quote-unquote grown-up job that, you know, I'm assuming pays the bills you kind of have to have.
Mm-hmm.
But how does that affect being in burlesque and having a day job in a corporate environment?
Well, I definitely have to say I learned a lot from Derby with balance between work and my extra things that I do outside of work, which I call my secondary part-time jobs, because that's I put just as much into those as I put into anything else that I do.
It just shows how passionate you are.
Yeah, I'm not going to half-ass it. That's not... You don't do that. You just don't do that. So it's... I've learned a lot about compartmentalizing, mm-hmm. I'd say. When I step into work, I'm at work and I'm present at work.
Mm-hmm.
And when I step into my burlesque work, I am there and present with that. Because I don't know. I can't do both at the same time. I'll go crazy.
Oh, yeah. Different frame of mind.
I know, for sure. Totally. And it's really interesting because I'm so proud of the burlesque work and Derby that I've done. And I can talk about Derby at work. It's totally cool. No big deal. But sometimes you have to be careful about talking about burlesque at work because not everyone understands. They don't get it.
Sure.
They see it as something dirty or wrong or naughty. Yeah.
No,
or just not appropriate. And I have to respect that because mm-hmm. we can't expect everyone to like everything.
Yeah.
I may not like some of the things that they do
totally.
When they go home, but it's not my business.
No.
So I have to, you know, got to keep it separated.
Yeah.
Keep it separated.
As much as possible.
That's totally where I went. I went to Love Spring on that.
What are some of the misconceptions about burlesque? Like, what are you, do you ever have like, I'm hoping people aren't a-holes to you, but have you ever had somebody say, oh yeah, well, this is what you're doing wrong, or what, and you're just like, what the hell are you talking about? You have no idea what the hell this is about. Like, have you ever had anything like that, or have people been kind of cool?
People have been pretty cool about it. I have kind of pushed those people out of my life, to be honest. If someone doesn't approve of what I do, then I don't talk to them about it, and I keep them at an arm's length, like, because it's my life and I'm going to do what I want to do and what I think is right, and I'm not hurting anyone else.
Yeah.
And I'm bettering myself and enjoying it. So
yeah, but
I don't know.
Makes you
I think it's like that interesting that you're asking me that, because now I'm really trying to think of anyone that's been nasty to me about it. That I know that I'm like face to face. Like, sure, people say things online that are rude and stupid.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, wow, I'm lucky I don't have to interact with that human.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, even though you say it on Facebook and stuff, you are not anonymous. We can find you. Because, I mean, Taryn, you know, you know, too. We've had some nasty things thrown our way, too. And
social media.
It brings out the worst in people.
Although it can do so many good things,
it's
connecting
so great,
people.
But
it brings out some real a-holes, that's so, for
they
sure.
They can hide behind their screen, you know.
Oh, yeah. Big,
say,
tough
come,
guy.
Please come and say it to my face. Let's have a conversation
that's
about it.
I am. If you've got a problem with me, let's address it face to face. You know, I have no problem shaking your hand and having a conversation with you about something. But when
I might squeeze your hand really extra
really,
hard,
really hard
so that you feel it later and remember that we had a conversation about it.
But there's definitely like,
right?
There's definitely something really seriously wrong with people that take that approach to throwing daggers on social media.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes you should be embarrassed.
Don't even get me started.
That makes me think that they don't really have anything else going on. And just like you said, you're doing something that you're proud of. You're working your ass off for it. Whether it was Derby or now burlesque, you're passionate about this, and you're gonna do what you're gonna fulfill your responsibilities at work and all that, and you're happy, you're bettering yourself, and some people just have such a miserable life that they're not able to be happy for anybody else. So take that as a lesson. If you're can't be happy for somebody else, then maybe you should find something to make yourself happy.
Exactly. Well, and clearly if someone does not understand burlesque, then they have they don't have an opinion. They don't get to have an opinion. If you've never experienced it or never seen it or tried to make a conscious effort to learn about it, I don't think that you get to have an opinion on that.
If at the end of the day it's not your thing, it's not your thing.
Yeah.
That's respected, but it is such a gorgeous, I don't think of it as, like some people would say, sex work. I think of it as art. I think of it as a theater show, a production, because you not only have to work on the costumes, the makeup, the lighting, the music, everything, put everything together. It's like you're putting on a play. It's just like you would respect a director who puts on like a little production of Shakespeare. This is a production.
Yeah.
It's like, what's not to respect about that?
Well, and even just trying to coordinate having you in here and how you know, trying to find time because you've been pouring your whole world into this outside of work. You know, I think that's just absolutely amazing what kind of dedication goes into this. And so I'm really excited. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm excited too. I'm excited about this show and many other things coming up, and I'm part of a troupe too, so we have shows that we're doing, you know, many, many times a year.
Is there anywhere they can follow you guys so they can get keep up to date with what's going on?
Yes, my troupe is called Stripped Screw Burlesque. And we perform all of our shows at Columbia City Theater. We do like narrative style shows, but we have one coming up on Valentine's Day. And then we have a Disney After Dark show that we do every year. You
that
guys
is awesome.
Have to come to
I would
that.
Love to. Oh, please. And I think I actually think my boyfriend is going to be my boyfriend's going to be out of town for Valentine's Day. So can I come see you?
Yes, I'll stay single. Single on purpose.
I have a date on Valentine's Day with Nikki. We're going to the burlesque show.
Let's do it.
Please come.
That'll be so much fun.
Oh, God.
That so guys, is so yes. awesome. I can't wait.
Yes, please follow
we have two
them.
Shows
and yeah,
on the 14th, so.
Go check it out. Oh,
sweet.
Man. Okay, this is going to sound really weird, and not many people are going to get the reference, but do you guys watch the show Once Upon a Time?
Yes.
You remind me of Snow White so much. I'm like,
really?
I'm like, I just want to hug you right now. She's played by Jennifer Goodwin, I believe. And
this is funny because in the show.
Please tell me you're Snow White.
I am the evil queen.
The nemesis of Snow White.
Right. So I'm dying that I'm kind of dying inside that you're
that
saying
is
that.
So cool.
Oh my God. No, it's just you're so adorable. And that's what she like. I can never, if I ever were to meet Jennifer Goodwin in real life, I'd be like, no, not Jennifer. You're Snow.
She's amazing.
She's adorable.
She is. So that's a great show.
If you guys, it's a little cheesy sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
Very.
I love cheesy.
I love cheesy too.
I love cheesy, nerdy. Yeah. Silly.
Well, there's like some people you have your you have your hardcore nerd shows that have like great production work, great everything, great. And then there's sometimes where I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But I'm just going to like let it go and just go with it and enjoy it. It's like I enjoy the love. I enjoy all the little things. So it's especially if you have a teenage daughter that's into some of the nerdy stuff or even your, I don't know, anybody, I recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, here's another question
really
for you, because you just mentioned you've got, you know, all these shows throughout the year, and I'm looking at this going, okay, your Pretty Hot Machine is you know, through the end of the month. How quickly do you turn around the next show? I mean,
do you get a break
a
for a second and be like, okay, now what's the next one? I know we have a couple more, but we got to think of the one at the very end.
Is it like, you know, you do your show on the 30th and then the 31st you're looking to the next show, or do you get a little break, or how do you make that happen?
So this Nine Inch Nails show is with two other performers, Iva Handful and Serafina Fierro, I think I mentioned that. And this is the first show that we've done as a trio.
Yeah.
For the Closer to Broads, like I said. And then Serafina and Iva have their own production company where they do, Iva Fierro, they do their own shows too, separately.
Very cool.
That they're working on their next show coming up, Relentless. And then my troupe, Strip Screw, we have our own shows that we do.
Oh my goodness.
So beyond those things happening, like each troupe, you know, has their own productions, there are other, you know, individuals or groups that have production companies that they do shows throughout Seattle. Then we all, outside of those things, book into those other shows. So have like six or seven, I think, performers in our Pretty Hot Machine show that we've booked for our show.
Oh,
but
awesome.
They're individuals that are involved in other troupes or other, you know, production groups and things. So
there's
we
good camaraderie,
book,
yeah?
Yeah. I feel super lucky about the community here in Seattle. Everyone's really good. We work together really well. I mean, it's like any family. We have our moments.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's pretty rad. We support each other. We intertwine, we work together. It's pretty awesome.
I think I read recently an interview with Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm, and she said that she doesn't see or feel like there's any competitiveness with other females in the metal industry. Do you feel that way? Or, I mean, granted, there's going to be a few bad eggs, but do you feel it's kind of the same thing where everyone's like, we're a family, we're going to work together, I want you to succeed, I want me to succeed, I want everybody to succeed? Or
I can only say from my perspective, mm-hmm. you know, and especially, again, and it's crazy, I always think about Derby, because the competitiveness in Derby mm-hmm. is, like, it's
intense. Through the roof.
Intense is a very, yes, that's the perfect word for it. It is intense. So my perspective is a little bit different maybe than most, but being in burlesque here in town, I don't feel this super competitiveness. I feel like it's a little bit more... I see a performer and I'm inspired by them, and they make me want to work harder.
That's
because
awesome.
They make me feel this way, and I get excited seeing them, and I'm like, oh my God, that was so kick ass. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I have to go home. I have a lot of work to do. I really need to work on this. I need to work on that. You know, so
it's
inspiring. And we have a lot of groups that get together and do critiques of each other's work.
Nice.
Which is super.
I was going to say a little nerve wracking, right?
It's scary. Definitely performing for your peers in. Light with the lights on is
that's
like scarier than performing in a show.
Oh
for
my
sure.
gosh, I'm sure that makes perfect sense.
I'd rather have sex with the lights on every single time. That's more terrifying.
And I also like the thought of like women, you know, supporting and being there for other women, because I think oftentimes I'm once again only speaking for myself, but women tear down other women, and I don't like that. I think women should support women, because mm-hmm. we've run into men tearing us down enough as it is. So, you know, why not support your fellow lady and help her achieve dreams and goals? I think that's huge.
Yeah,
so I really respect that.
I couldn't agree more. And there are a lot of boys in burlesque. Boylesque is a huge...
Boylesque, I like it.
It's a huge community, too. And there are more and more boys doing burlesque, and boys, men, you know, same thing, doing burlesque. And it's really cool, and there's so much respect there between the two.
That's great.
It's awesome. It's a very female-oriented industry, and all the boys that are involved that I've come in contact with have been really respectful and really cool, and we all work really hard together, and I don't know. It's awesome. I have warm fuzzies about the burlesque movie.
You're giving me warm fuzzies. I think this is awesome.
No, I got... go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, back to you asking if we get a break. Not much, no.
No, that's
constant
answer.
Work.
That's why you're clearly in fantastic shape, and so it probably keeps you in good shape, always, like, you know, working toward the next performance and everything. Yeah?
Not like Derby.
Not like...
I mean, Derby? We're performing... Practicing. 4 times a week sometimes.
Oh my goodness.
It was pretty bizarre. It was nuts. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When you really get into it, and depending on the teams you're playing with and stuff. But
oh my goodness.
With burlesque, I mean, there are different levels of, you know, body shapes, sizes. Same with Derby. It's
Which
pretty
I think
amazing.
Is pretty awesome.
I love that.
Yeah. Everything. Like the range of humans is awesome. Can you tell that I watch a lot of sci-fi? I say humans all the time. Someone at work told me that. They're like, you say humans instead of people, and I'm like, I watch a lot of Star Trek. I'm sorry.
What other shows do you watch? Because after I watched, I binge watched Battlestar Galactica last year on Netflix.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not on Netflix anymore. But I would say frack way too much.
Oh yeah,
that is their swear word.
What the frack?
I definitely find myself speaking in the lingo of the show that mm-hmm. I'm absorbing, and I'm watching Supernatural right now.
Oh yeah,
I need to watch that.
It's so good.
Do you watch Grimm?
I've seen Grimm.
Okay, that's one of my
I haven't
big nerd
binged
shows.
It.
It's pretty good. And when a show goes off the air for like the holidays mm-hmm. or whatever, I've been like miserable.
Yeah.
Miserable not having my Grimm. So.
That's how I've been with Once Upon a Time. Like my roommate was watching. I'm like, oh, that's been on my list to check out. I think it looks good. And I watched the last episode of season one when everything's getting revealed and this. And I'm sitting there like, I have to stop. Excuse me.
No.
I will come back here in a couple days once I've caught up to you.
Yeah. Right.
I immediately went and binge watched it. So I'm kind of the same. It won't start for a couple days. I got same with Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, we still have a few months, I think. It comes out in March or April.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
So it's just so many good shows right now. And I love that we're a bunch of girls talking about nerds.
I don't watch shows if they're on TV. I don't watch TV. I strictly watch Netflix and Amazon Prime. Like, if a show doesn't have more than one season, I won't watch it because I can't deal with it. I can't just watch one season.
I know. People get mad at me. Like, why didn't you watch the show? It's been around forever. Like, but then I have to wait every week.
I know. I'm too impatient. I watched Blacklist. It was so good.
Oh, yeah.
There was only one season. I can't even take
it. It's not enough. I need more.
Be careful if you watch Firefly, man. That'll break your heart right there. For those who don't know, Firefly was canceled after one season, and it was canceled abruptly, so the ending does not, it's not an ending.
Aww.
But they made Serenity the movie, which I, so I've waited a couple years to watch Serenity. Like, I had it, I owned it, but I'm like, they're like, oh, yeah, but you've seen, I've seen all of Firefly, I haven't seen Serenity. On purpose, because then once I was
you just
done,
can't take it.
I was, it's over. And I actually ended up, I bought the DVD and ended up watching it at Comic-Con last year. And they had Alan Tudyk, you know, doing the little, you know, Q&A before. And I watched it and I'm sitting there like, oh, God. And I was spoiled. People were talking about what happened. And there's like a big thing.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there, I'm like, what? What? The, that can't happen. And then I saw it happen. I'm like, but no, how are you going to fix this?
Oh, oh my God!
And you actually get really emotional about it. Just, your eyes are watering. I
know.
Think.
I was just like, it was the best. I'm a leaf in the wind.
There. So do you? I'll just ask. Like a lot of Joss Whedon work.
Yeah, he did the Avengers. I had a moment where I hated him.
Oh,
everybody hates him at some point. He kills off good characters.
Well, no. So
how can you?
Well, before, because I know he did Buffy and all that, but there was this comic series called The Runaways, and it was almost made into a movie, but then Joss Whedon proceeded to do The Avengers, and so and they actually started casting for this movie, and it never happened. And it's about the comic book is about a group of teenagers who find out their parents really are evil. They actually made a contract with these, I won't ruin it for those who haven't read it, but they made a contract, and it turns out that they're stealing virgin souls. And, you know, killing them off for some reason, killing these women. And so they're runaway, and hence the name. And they all find out they have some sort of superpower or something. Like one gal, she finds out she's an alien and her parents were aliens. One of the other gals, she finds out her parents are time travelers. And they have this, you know, they reconstructed a velociraptor to be telepathically connected to her. So it's her... her little pet that she, you know, she whatever the
her spirit animal,
yeah,
familiar,
yeah. Whenever she gets when she gets hurt, the animal feels pain and vice versa.
Wow.
So she can tell him what to do, attack, you know, this or that, and so she loves it. I think she named him Old Lace, and you know, one finds out she's a witch. It's just like all these really awesome characters,
oh my God.
And I started reading.
Have to read that,
and it's the first, like when you the beginning when you first read it, it very much feels like they wrote it for young adults. It very much is like maybe like I started reading when I think I was like 17, and it goes on and it's really good. But then he started writing for him, and all of a sudden it felt like I got punched in the face, and I didn't know where I ended up. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Why are they back in time? And what the hell? There was absolutely. And then he finished it off, and he stopped writing for it. And I'm just like, there was no point for any of that.
Yeah.
What? And I hated him for a long time.
You ruined my life.
I'm like, you ruined this. What is wrong with you? But then he did the Avengers, and I'm like, okay, you're cool now.
That
you're good.
Is awesome.
So I'm still holding out hope.
He's good with you. Okay.
That one day he'll make the movie or maybe a TV series. I think a TV series would be amazing. So one day, Joss Whedon, if you want to get back in my good
doing
graces.
Shield.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not sure if he's the number one, but I think he might have something to do with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, there's a Whedon-esque burlesque show.
I've heard of that.
I think 3 years. There were 3 years of it, yeah. It
was last
summer.
Gosh.
Now, do they do different themes each time, or do they do, like, one show per Whedon-esque, or what's the...
So the shows are a mix of acts based on the works of Joss Whedon.
Okay.
So it's a mix.
Mix every episode. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what kind of stuff have they done in the past?
Let's see. They're... Dr. Horrible sing-along blog, obviously, has been featured. There's been Dr. Horrible Axe. I forget her name. Penny? Is that her name?
I think
the redhead?
She's played by, I know her real name. Now I'm forgetting
Drawing
her real
a blank,
name.
Yep. I was in one. I did Moist. He's the sweaty...
That word.
Yeah,
he did. One
create,
of my least favorite words, but it has to be used.
He did create. He's one of the creators for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. So. And there have been some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. acts.
Awesome.
Which have been awesome. Avengers, everything. I mean, everything that he's done. There's a beautiful Hulk act that is done by Jesus Lapinga and Owlbear. That is, it's one of the most beautiful burlesque acts I've ever seen. These two guys, it's really amazing.
Oh, my
I don't
goodness.
Know. When you can see them do that, I'm sure you could find them on Facebook.
Oh, but, I will. I'm gonna hunt them down.
There, yeah, it's a really really fun show. There's been Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
of course,
yeah.
Just such a part of my like growing up and my childhood. I was such a Buffy fan. Mm-hmm. It was insane.
There's a Spike act.
Oh my gosh.
There's been a Spike act in every show, I think, pretty much.
Of course,
yeah.
That's
such a good show. Yeah, it's really fun. So there are a lot of really good nerdy themed burlesque shows in town. And there are a lot of really beautiful classic burlesque shows in town. And then there's all kinds in between, like scripted burlesque shows and plays. And there was a Star Trek show that I did last year with Serendipity.
Oh, my gosh.
It was scripted, and it was actually the first time that I was able to try out acting. And
yay! Did you feel good?
I think I did okay.
Oh, my gosh. Now, what
the gal, by the
way,
is Felicia Day is her
Felicia
real name.
That's her. Right.
What has been, I mean, this it sounds like Pretty Hot Machine could be your favorite yet, but do you have a favorite before this has debuted? Like a favorite, you know, show that you've been a part of?
That I've been a part of? Oh my God. That is so hard to, that's so hard. That is a hard, hard question. I love doing Disney After Dark with my troupe. I
that
love
just sounds
being
amazing.
The evil queen. I love being evil. It's so much fun.
Oh yeah.
Doing Weed and Esk was a true, like,
is there, okay, how about, is there a theme that you would like to try?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
You clearly have a very creative mind.
Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't know.
That's, there
have been
many
shows. I was going to say, is that part of the Disney? Yes.
There have been many Nightmare Before Christmas shows. I mean, pretty much, if you can think of it, there's probably been at least an act done.
Is there one about radio people? That'd be kind of interesting.
That would be awesome.
I feel like the only one I can, because I'm not that
creative.
There's
a lot you could do with this, Mike.
I was going to say, thinking of like the really cheesy porno, like from the 70s, like, hey, I'm delivering a pizza here to the radio station. Who do I deliver?
And everyone's sitting around the studio smoking cigarettes, because that is what it was like in the 70s.
But it's a girl delivery person. I don't know. That's all I can think of. I got nothing else.
That is awesome.
I was in a Ghostbusters burlesque show this past weekend, and there was a Slimer act.
Oh,
and
I love it.
Randy Rascal was Slimer, and she sat in a pizza and rubbed the pizza all over her. It was amazing.
Oh my God. Gosh, that just like warmed my heart.
So that pizza just totally took me there.
Now I'm thinking of 80s movies. How about, what is it?
What about you guys? What do you want to see?
Let's see. Oh, not Fast and Furious.
Fast Times at Ridgemont.
No. Back to the Future. Back to the Future.
Oh, Back to the Future.
Yes.
Oh,
Back to the Future could be really fun.
Dude, I imagine like a really awesome girl with the freaking vest.
And not only do I turn 30 today, this year, Back to the Future is 30 this year.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that could be fun.
So if they would have made Back to the Future this year,
right,
and they went back the same amount of time, like he went back to the 50s and saw his mom, we'd be going back in the 80s.
To 85.
Oh, my God.
Marty McFly.
My mind is so twisted right now.
Well, this is the year we're supposed to be getting all our...
hoverboards.
Yep. I'm more excited for that pizza thing. Have you?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
When they put the little pizza in and it comes out.
Oh, the microwave thing, and it blows up. Yeah. Or not blows up, but it
like
expands.
Gets bigger.
Yeah, Back to the Future. So Back to the Future, I had a couple of years, I think, well, about a year, where my best friend's boyfriend and now husband and his friends had this projector screen at their house. And so we would sit and do Back to the Future marathons where we'd watch them all. And it never got old. I mean, I would pay big bucks for burlesque Back to the Future.
Yeah. That's 1995.
85.
85. Oh, my God. Math. Terrible.
I can't math.
I know. That's why I got into radio, because math is hard.
Just do a bunch of like classic 80s movies. Like one
Seriously?
Night. Just like a different 80s movie each act. That'd be pretty rad.
That would be really fun.
Oh, we had an 80s show.
Yay!
Last year.
Well, was it like 80s music or 80s theme or like what 80s movies?
It was 80s movies. Yeah, 80s movie themed.
Fun.
That's awesome.
Yay!
It was called, oh God, there's been so many great shows. So
it
much fun.
It sounds like so much has been done. I'm really impressed.
Oh, it was called Better Off Naked.
Oh my God.
That's right. Yes. I think Iva Fierro put it on. That
yes.
My friends that
oh
I'm doing the show
gosh.
With. Yeah. Iva did Ducky. She did it like a combo act thing. Let's see. There was, oh my God, what did I do? I did an act in that. The chick from The Breakfast Club.
The Recluse?
Yes, yes.
Allison Sweeney.
Yes, oh my God.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid, so I don't remember most of it.
I forget things.
Oh, man.
I told you.
Derby.
Yeah, Jamie. I went back and I was like, no, she is not putting on the pretty makeup and the pink dress. And I took all of it off and I dumped out my purse and I put on my outfit from the show. I went back to it.
Oh,
and I got excited and I danced. And I was like, no, you will not make Allison wear lipstick and makeup if she doesn't want to. That's not who she is.
is so badass.
I want to have a movie marathon now. Damn.
I know. Every experience I have in life, I'm going to be like,
can we make this?
Can we call Drew and ask if we can have this as a burlesque show? Can she make all of my dreams
if
and fantasies
come
true?
If you dream it, you can do it. Why don't you guys get into burlesque? Maybe.
I would would be take totally some down. Classes. Can I take some shots first? Is that okay? Or do you have to be sober?
Let's do a Bob's fun, Burgers.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I've been watching that show. Just Tina.
I have not been watching that show. I keep hearing about it though.
Oh, it's I recommend it because the teenage daughter, she's 14 and she's just really like, just really kind of land. Like, but she's I don't want to say she's antisocial. She gets nervous a lot, but she's really nuts. In the way she's just like, she makes, what is it, friend fictions, because she's already made fan fictions about every other TV show there exists. So she makes friend fictions where she'll just pretend like, oh yeah, there's a zombie in her school and he's making out with the girl and we're all touching each other's butts.
Always butts.
It's like, but she loves
it's
butts.
Always butts.
She's like, that
guy, I love butts.
There was a guy who spanked himself. She's like, that goes in the butt bank.
That would
that
be
is
awesome,
so cool,
actually.
I mean,
butt only show.
I would definitely.
Butts. There's actually a song on the show, by the way, where the sister-in-law makes a bunch of paintings for Art Walk, but they're all about animal anuses.
Oh, my God.
So there's a song, like one of the sisters starts having nightmares about it. So it's butts. Yeah, there you go.
There's the song. There's the show.
Wow.
That, I would definitely consider it, though.
Epic.
I mean,
I'm kidding.
I like dancing. Mm-hmm. I like being sexy. And I like the fact that there are like so many different kinds of sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
There's not one kind of sexy. And I remember I don't remember what it was. It was something Facebook related where someone wrote something terrible about me. Mm-hmm. And then someone said, but Taryn's, she's beautiful in not your stereotypical like cookie cutter Barbie. She's sexy in this way or something like that.
And
I felt like someone
oh.
stood up for me. And the fact that like, yeah, I'm my body type is not.
As long as you're happy with yourself, that's all really.
It is. It
I'm
makes I'm uncomfortable
my head,
in my
like,
own
people
skin.
Are mean.
People are.
We don't
jerks.
Like trolls. Stop being mean.
Don't be trolls. Get off my.
And we all
guys and girls.
We all look different.
Yes, and that's the beauty of it.
You're welcome.
And yeah,
I think the thing that also kind of bugs me a little bit—not bugs me, but it saddens me—is when girls trash on other girls. They're like either because they're heavier or because they are skinny or whatever.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my god, she's fat, or oh my god, she's too skinny. It's like that trashing. Is nonsense. It's like, are you happy with the way you look? Like, I'm not exactly where I would like to be, but I finally embraced it. I'm like, okay, this is what I got going on. And there's also the girls that want to make everybody think they are the most gorgeous thing and then tear themselves down when they find somebody who's not interested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, my piece of advice is, or my, the one thing I have to say about it is like, look, I'm not going to be everyone's cup of tea. I might find the guy in my dreams and I'll be his shot of tequila, you know, like, and we will be perfect for each other.
Yeah.
But not everyone's going to think I'm sexy and I have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just going to end up drowning yourself.
It's great. I love that. I mean, and for me, like I was self-conscious about my body for a very long time.
I feel like most girls nowadays.
I think everybody
like,
goes through that phase.
I was too.
But I remember like one of the things I always was self-conscious about were my legs because I got soccer playing legs. I got big,
oh,
I got
too.
Big ass thighs.
Dude,
I have calves.
Dude, I have calves bigger than most people's thighs.
Yes, and then I started when Brad and I started dating. He was like, "I love your legs," and I was like, "Really?"
Like
I was so
yes,
happy because
thank you.
I had been. I always thought, you know, and now they talk about this thigh gap thing, which I don't even know what the hell that is.
It's
scary. Love the fact that he liked my legs for the way they were, and I would show that off. I'm gonna show it off.
Mm-hmm. That's my thing too. It's just like I don't think this is the way to look at it, but it helped me get to that revelation to where I'm happy with myself. Where I've gotten asked out by some dudes where I'm like, why are you talking to me? Like in high school, they would have made fun of me, but I'm like, you're asking me out, but you're beautiful. You're like, they should make statues of you. You're so beautiful.
Hmm.
But it's like, look, they see something in me that they think is great, and why is it that they can see it and I can't? Like,
that's the tricky part.
That is
being able to
part.
See yourself through other eyes.
Yeah.
Through positive eyes.
Yes.
Yeah, so not other eyes of negative people.
I love that we can celebrate, you know, that we're not all the same, that we don't look the same, that we're not built the same, that you know, everything is a different shape on every person, you know?
And sometimes it jiggles a little more.
Oh,
a little jiggle. And I grew up being made fun of for my chest because I'm super flat chested. And that just destroyed me.
Oh,
like I, for years and years, was just like, I don't know why.
I got the same one. Knick knack, paddy whack. Why is your chest as flat as your back?
Oh, I never heard that one.
Yep, I got that one. I'd get that in middle school.
I'm so glad now. I've embraced it, and that's part of who I am. And I have a big ass and a little chest and. This is it, right
it's
here.
Like, look
and
at the booty.
And I'm doing
again.
My thing.
Like,
it's crazy.
I love that. I mean, I think, and like so I have one of my sisters always had a smaller chest, and I used to get really jealous because she could always wear cuter swimsuits than me, because if I tried to put on the same swimsuit, it looked like a total nightmare, and I could never share anything with her. And I always thought that I loved her look, and I just love that, like, you can celebrate the fact that we don't all have the same size boobs, you know. But hooray for boobs, period.
I know, it's like,
thing all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, it's every size boobs has their own special benefit.
Yes, yes.
I remember once I have a buddy who likes, he says it in a not so nice way, so I'll just say, he likes the curvier, bigger gals.
Yeah.
And he's a skinnier dude. So once, you know, he was my friend back in the day. Something happened. But I remember one thing he said.
Something happened. You all fill in that blank.
Yeah. But I remember what he said, and I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. He's like, oh, I love your boobs. They're like little handfuls. It's perfect.
And you're like, what?
Excuse me? And then I thought back at all the because he was one of my best friends, and I, thought about all the previous girls he had been with, and they had some enormous racks. And I'm just like, okay, but the fact that he called them like nice little handfuls, and he liked it, and I thought it was funny. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Thanks. So it's like, sometimes you have some that, you know, you might bury your face in and maybe never come back out of, and then you have some that you can just play with, like a little beanbag. I don't know, not a beanbag, but
a hacky sack.
Yeah, it's just like, woo,
just kick him around like a hacky sack.
Well, I'm imagining a hacky sack shaped, like, wow.
But it has to be the Rastafarian colors.
Oh yeah,
I dyed my boobs for this.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Yeah, but it's, you know, I like that we can celebrate the differences in our boobies and everywhere.
And there's no point in tearing anybody down. Mm-mm. Like,
it doesn't make you any better. It just makes you an ugly person. Yeah. If you tear someone down, you have an ugly personality.
Well, like, I've seen it from, like, so I got, you know, when you're curvier, you're always like, yeah, go for curvy. Yay, we're curvy girls. But it's something that never really hit me until my friend posted it on Facebook. She's naturally skinny. She came in and she had 6 donuts in one sitting. She's just like, I don't gain weight. And she's almost 30.
Oh my god.
Super, like, I know, I'm super jealous. But she has, like, you know, she's really flat chested. She has a cute little butt for, you know, being so thin, but she's naturally that thin.
Yep.
And she's like, do you guys realize that when you post about real men want curves and only dogs want bones, do you realize how hurtful that is?
It goes both ways.
It's like you're getting mad at me for being me. Like, I'm not sick. Like, this isn't an illness. This is just me.
This is how you're built.
This is how I
and
was
you shouldn't,
built.
I have a huge problem with that. Like, building.
Both ways,
trying
yeah.
to, it's like a double, like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You're trying to build up one thing by pushing another down.
Yeah.
That's defeating the whole purpose of building up that one thing. Like, don't make
it makes you look petty.
That's why I don't like that Nicki Minaj song.
I don't like it.
She's like, skinny girls, and I'm like, dude,
you're skinny.
Everyone likes big butts. They should, but don't knock the skinny girls.
Yeah.
They have their place. We all have our place in all of this.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned this before, and, like, people get mad at it, but I'm like, one, I get it, but at the same time, I don't. Megan Taylor song where it's like...
all about that bass.
But she was talking about, like, oh, you skinny bitches or something. But then there's, like, everyone's like, oh my God, she's skinny shaming. I'm like, but did you hear the next line? She said, I'm just plain. I know you all think you're fat, which in my head makes me think we all have our insecurities.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. And then she says, we're all beautiful from the bottom to the top, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Whether you hate Megan Taylor's music or not, that's the message I got out of it.
I thought about that.
Yeah,
it's just like some people got mad at it. I'm like, but she said, I'm just playing.
Like, you weren't listening.
It's like, you know, she was just like, it's like that teasing where, like, I have a friend who, you know, like, super skinny girl. I'm like, shut up, I'm gonna bust you in two. Like, I'll break you, you little twig. And she's like, oh yeah, bring it on. You know, it's just weird. Like, there's some people you can joke about, and I think she was trying to maybe do that. I don't know. I'm not Megan Taylor.
Yeah.
But if you want to hate her, go ahead.
Totally.
I'm not gonna tell you what to do. Exactly. But I like her. I like that song. So,
well, and I have a sister that works in corrections, and she's there, like your friend, naturally skinny, has the highest metabolism of any human being on the entire planet, and she wanted to work in corrections. So one of the stipulations of that was that she needed to be able to take down people and be able to protect herself. And you look at her and you think there's no way in hell that she's going to be able to protect herself, especially against, like, a crazy man. I don't know.
300-pound, you know, muscular dude.
So she went in. She was the only woman in this special, what was it, defensive tactics training down at the academy in Burien. She's put on, like, 15, 20 pounds of muscle, and she still looks amazing.
Wow.
But, like, she busted her butt to to get her body to where she could protect herself.
Right.
And I still find, I mean, and she's still naturally thin,
knockout,
you know, all that. But she will beat your ass. Like, she will destroy you. She took me down. She took me down, and I probably have at least 20 pounds on her. But she took me down to the point where I was like, uncle, please, let me go. And it's just amazing. Like, don't underestimate the power that even like a skinny girl like my sister could have.
Right.
She will whoop you.
Well, we
she
just
will take you down.
Took a self-defense class for burlesque performers.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's been some things going on Capitol Hill, and, you know,
I heard like somebody, a friend of mine posted today on Facebook, someone got stabbed on Cap Hill.
God.
So it's just like, you need to learn how to defend yourself. Like,
yeah, so we were like, okay, well, maybe it's time to have a self-defense class. And there have been two, I think, so far. And Home Alive, one of the ladies from Home Alive came, and then another person came up from San Francisco, and they put this on, and it was really phenomenal. We all got to sit around and talk a little bit about violence against women and just why we were there, and we learned self-defense. And it was cool because we were all burlesquers and we all relate to each other in that form, but we're all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to see how we could all actually make a difference.
Yeah.
And defend ourselves. I mean, you like poke someone in the throat or punch them in the throat and they're done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Find a soft spot.
Totally.
And punch it and go for it because you have one chance.
Yeah,
sometimes
you might only get
you do
one.
Elbows.
Sometimes
yeah.
you might only have one chance. Yeah. So it was really cool to be able to take a self defense class and talk about things that were related to us.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, what happens to us is that we get done with the show and we have to pack up all our stuff and maybe we leave later and maybe we're wearing heels or whatever. And what weapons do we have on us, you know, if someone comes after us? And make sure you're walking
stiletto.
Together. And,
yeah. I mean,
yeah,
seriously,
stiletto. Like,
that's so important for you to have that confidence and that preparedness that you know if that situation, you know, knock on wood, was ever to come up, that you could stand your ground and
take care of yourself.
And win
and
the
not,
battle.
And not be a victim. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Like,
don't take it lying down.
Don't be
it's
the
like,
victim.
Well, good for you gals. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah. And that's like,
I mean, it was fun too. It was fun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Beating somebody
doing
up.
Some
yeah.
knee crotch
like a badass.
Action and punching, fake throat punching and screaming.
No,
at each other.
Hopefully you never actually have to use it. But there was one time, it wasn't even a scary situation, but I got to use something I learned. A friend of mine, her boyfriend, Devin, taught me a few self-defense moves on like how to, not so much to like beat anybody up, but to incapacitate them to where they're not a threat anymore.
Yeah.
So I can put them on the ground and I have like my knee to their back kind of a thing. And once I was at a bar with a friend and he brought his overly drunken friend and he was just being annoying, obnoxious. And at one point, without even thinking, like he does like a slow punch towards me, like fake punch. Like he wasn't going to hit me, but my reflex kicked in and I took him to the ground.
Wow.
In the middle of this bar and he just rolled over. And like I let go. So I didn't really actually like sat him down, but I went boom. And he's sitting there drunk. You can't believe you did that. You flipped me over. Because we were up on these high benches, and I was just sitting there like, yeah, sorry, bud. Not really. This is awesome. So it's like that great feeling of like, I knew how to do this, and I took care of it.
And you did it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Just do it.
That's when my sister told me about defensive tactics training and taking down 250-pound guys, like linebackers. I was like, I want to be able to do that. So I got to get in one of those classes one of these days.
Well, maybe we should have somebody from one of those classes come in and talk to us.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You should let us know who you guys work with.
Yes.
Again, ladies, defend yourselves.
Again, check out Pretty Hot Machine. It is happening the January 30th. And the show's at 10 p.m., correct? And also one at 8?
No, there's only one show.
Oh, one show, excuse me. I'm getting confused with all the other days.
It's at 8.
8.
The
Thank
show's
you.
At 8. Sorry, yeah.
Yes, my
10
bad.
10 p.m.
Yes.
The 30th.
Brownpapertickets.com. Get them now. And then you can also check out the Disney After Dark.
We're making t-shirts for this Pretty Hot Machine show.
Oh, my gosh. What's your favorite Nine Inch Nails song?
I was like, afraid you might ask
me.
I don't know. I can't say. Reptile. I'll say Reptile right now. I'm doing
good.
I'm
choice.
Doing an act to Reptile.
Okay.
Oh,
fair
yay.
Enough.
Yeah, I'll say that for the moment. But
oh
God,
my
every
gosh.
Song. I love. I don't know. It's one of those things.
Well, we're so excited for you. This
Thank
is going to be huge.
It's been fun.
I can't wait to come up with all the dreams. Like my favorite band is Rush. So I think like a Rush burlesque show. That'd probably never work.
God.
But in my dream, in my fantasy, that'll happen, right? Or maybe when I get into
burlesque. I was going to say, you should do it.
And the
you
only person that will show up
yeah,
is Brad.
Yeah, you should do it.
Yeah.
Brad would show up. He loves.
I'll watch.
You just need a little tiny seed of inspiration, and you'd be surprised how far it'll.
That is so cool. I'm really excited. I hope we can stay in touch, and you know,
yeah, whenever you want to come back on.
Okay.
Yes, for sure. We've loved having you from Derby to Burlesque and everything in between.
We can talk more about TV shows and stuff.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
TV shows. We can talk about what's going on with girls. I know we've talked about dating and like. Dating criteria. I remember that one. We did a one where we did a. This guy posted a bio and not.
Oh yeah.
What not to? Don't message me if.
Yeah.
I hate people sometimes.
Yeah. They had time to create that list.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Is there?
You could have just sat home and you know did the what's a nice way to say this that I don't have to bleep it. The one. You know, you're just have some alone time with yourself yeah. instead of writing that list, and you would have felt much better.
Totally.
Were you going to say beating the one-eyed monster?
Yes, something like that. I was like beating something. Yes. But I think when you make a list of things that are deal breakers, you're completely closing off potential.
Yeah.
And you might be closing the door on something that you really like. You don't even know yet.
Yep. So. You might be introduced to something really cool.
Like yeah. burlesque.
Yes.
Burlesque is a really cool thing, and we hope to see you there.
Yay.
Yeah, come on out, all you broadcast listeners.
Yeah, please do.
Come you take pictures, please post them, yes.
Come see our girls.
Oh, God, there will be pictures posted.
Yes.
All right.
Well, thank you again for joining us, Drew.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll see you on stage.
Okay.
And that was another episode of The Broadcast. See you guys next time.